Hi, Brian Abbott here from America's Next Top Podcaster. Listen, I know you love the show, right? You're listening to it right now. And if you didn't love it, you wouldn't be listening to it. But you love it, and you're trying to learn stuff from podcasting, whether you're a seasoned pro or a beginner, or maybe somewhere in the middle. Well, have we got some news for you? We have more ways for you to learn and grow as a podcaster. Yeah, we are starting a Patreon. And on that Patreon, you're going to find a bunch of extra stuff that's just for you as a supporter of the show. You're going to get extra content, extra shows here and there, and you're going to get all that audio that we don't get, that we can't fit into every action-packed episode of America's Next Top Podcaster. All that plus swag. Yeah, there's goodies you can get. There's discounts on stuff from the ANTP store. There is so much more, as well as joining a thriving community of podcasters over there in the ANTP Discord. Find it all by going to patreon.com/toppodcaster. That's patreon.com/toppodcaster. I'll see you there. It's the end of our solo interview challenge, and David, Kristen, and Bobby have turned in their submissions. Which of our final three contestants produced the interviews that had our judges glued to their seats? And which two of our players will be headed towards the final challenge? It's all coming up right now on America's Next Top Podcaster. Hello, I'm Brian Abbott, and welcome to America's Next Top Podcaster. It's our penultimate challenge for the season, and we've asked our players to schedule, conduct, record, and edit an interview into a podcast. The catch is, it has to be someone outside of their list of contacts. We want them to really reach out and find that interview of someone that's outside of their immediate circles and turn it into a compelling show. You've heard the submissions from David, Kristen, and Bobby, and so have our judges. By the end of this episode, they'll have picked a winner for the week and will have sent our 10th player home from the competition, leaving us with our final two. We'll hear all of that in just a few minutes. But before we get to that, let's hear from Coach Tom Merritt, who met with each of the contestants.
David always impresses me with his organized approach, and this is no exception. He's got multiple approaches. He's got redundancies. He's got a plan. But I really do hope he gets Casper Kelly, because I feel like that is the best of the options. Not that the board game designer couldn't also be great, but everybody knows too many cooks. And the fact that he's already thinking about, I want to ask him things that he hasn't been asked before, means he's along the right lines of taking this to another level and making it really interesting. So I'm super excited about that. Bobby's Banachek story certainly feels a little bit like a historical take. So I was trying to encourage him to tie it to the future, hopefully without saying, and you have to tie it to the future, and he ends up just tacking it on of an otherwise great interview. But I feel like if he can figure out a way to make it more applicable to today, then it will appeal to more people than just people who would be interested in the parapsychology, right? It's sort of like the crime challenge that they did, where they talked about the serial murders, right? That was very interesting if you're into that sort of thing, but there's a way to widen it out. And I hope he's able to do that. Kristen feels like she she's not quite as far along in the process maybe as the other two, because she's waiting to hear back from a few more people. But I think the one she wanted to do but wasn't sure how to approach now has a good approach after we talked, and I really hope she gets Aaron to do it, because I think, like she says, she's good at interviewing, and I think she could have something really special there.
Remember back in the early days of podcasting when Apple added the ability for producers to create chapters in their shows, but you had to specifically use the enhanced audio format, AAC? Believe it or not, the more widely used MP3 format has had chapter ability since 2005, but a lot of us just didn't know about it. And now that all the major smartphone apps support MP3 chapters, producers are looking for ways to give their listeners the ability to navigate to specific parts of their shows with chapters, but not add a lot of work to their show creation process. Enter Rogue Amoeba's Fission. Fission lets you quickly and easily add chapter marks to your podcast and export it out as MP3, AAC, or other popular formats. Not only that, but it's a solid audio editor as well, with fades, normalization, and a host of other editing tools to clean up your audio. And right now, Rogue Amoeba wants to give you a discount on your purchase of Fission. Use the code ANTP20 to save 20%. You can use that code for 20% off of any of the other podcast tools like Loopback, Audio Hijack, and Farrago, or you can use it to save 20% off of the already discounted Ultimate Podcast Bundle. That code again is ANTP20. Visit rogueamoeba.com to learn more.
Hello, I'm Hammond, producer of America's Next Top Podcaster. This week, I want to talk about noise reduction. This show's pretty fortunate. We are all in controlled environments with decent mics, but even these situations have artifacts and noises. Here, listen to this.
It's the end of our solo interview challenge, and David, Kristen, and Bobby have turned in their submissions. Which of our final three contestants produced the interviews that have the judges glued to their seats? And which two of our players will be headed towards the final challenge? It's all coming up right now on America's Next Top Podcaster.
That was the intro to this episode. What you heard was a noise that I eliminated from Brian's recording. Granted, Brian's situation is set up, the studio is about as good as it comes, but there are tricks and tools that can take your audio and your show to the next level. X-Noise is a plugin by Waves, and this is an incredible piece of equipment. I run it on every show I produce. No matter how clean you might think your signal is, this will make it better. X-Noise reduces background artifacts, reverbs, with very little signal degradation, and it preserves the quality of your audio. X-Noise learns the noise profile and only removes what you want it to. The plugin is extremely versatile, and you can construct custom noise profiles that you can access easily for situations that you encounter regularly in your work, in your show, in your recording situations. If you are familiar with the controls of a regular dynamics processor, within minutes, you should be able to get excellent results with X-Noise with a minimal amount of experimentation. I'd like to thank Waves one more time for their support of America's Next Top Podcaster and for providing an incredible prize package to this season's winner, which was the gold package of plugins. If you want to learn more about X-Noise, click the link in the show notes or go to Waves and start sounding better now.
You know the phrase jack of all trades? Usually it's followed by master of none, which means that when somebody can do everything, they can't do anything really well. Thankfully, that's not something you can say about the Shure MV51 large diaphragm condenser microphone. This microphone excels at capturing whatever kind of audio you need, whether it's speaking, singing, or even playing an instrument, thanks to its onboard DSP preset modes, which you have access to right there on the microphone. It's got a built-in headphone output, so you can monitor your audio in real time. And thanks to its connectivity to both desktop and iOS devices, it's the perfect microphone for taking on the road. Use it with your laptop, your tablet, or even your phone for high quality recording on the go. It's the Shure MV51, and you can find it right now by visiting Shure.com. Welcome to the judging and elimination section of this episode. We've got our three finalists, Bobby, Kristen, and David here with us, and we're going to be talking about their solo interview episodes. Before we do that, though, let's talk to our three judges, welcoming her back from, way too many vacation days that I don't think we gave her that many vacation days, paid vacation days anyway. Jenny Josephson.
I'm so happy to be back. I miss this show so much.
We've missed having you here. Justin Robert Young.
What's up, fam?
It's good to have you back here, man. And Scott Johnson.
Hello.
Hello and welcome. So you guys have seen this before in last season, where we gave them the opportunity to go out and find their own interview subjects and conduct the interview, record the interview, and edit down the interview into a show. What kinds of things were you looking for from our players? I want to say teams, but our players this time around.
Well, for me, I was looking for solo acumen. You know, I want to see how they did on their own, which is, I know we haven't, it hasn't been entirely not some solo work before, but this was a chance for people to really shine and show us what they're made of on an individual basis. And I'm happy to say, without giving too much away, I think everybody kind of killed it this week, and it was one of the hardest judging weeks I've ever experienced on two seasons of this show, because they gave me exactly what I wanted. So that you just asked for it, they gave it to me, and now you just get to find out who gave it to me the most.
Right. It's a well said. Justin, how about you?
Well, Brian, I'm glad you asked, because I'm looking this week for PEP. That is P-E-P, preparation. This is a booking episode. You had a lot of time. You had the opportunity to get anybody you wanted. We have an example already set on this show of somebody getting a crazy guess, right? So that's preparation. Mm-hmm. Execution. How are you? You've already done an interview episode so far. How did you learn from that? How are you going to get the most out of the person you're talking to? And then polish. How are you going to take what you did with the extra time that you had and make it into something that could be released today? And I know we got a lot of first P. I didn't think this thing. I don't know how much P we got. So we will see.
Interesting.
Who did the most.
Okay. Wow. I like that. What do you not want regular pep? Like is, you know, them being up and cheerful?
No,
and
I want
that doesn't matter.
A macabre death of energy. I wanted everybody to just slowly wheeze out all of their words.
Gotcha. Okay. Very good. How about you, Jenny?
I think of all the things that I wanted from these episodes, what I was really looking for was a baby Yoda. No, I'm just kidding. What I wanted was storytelling. I wanted to be able to, telling a story through an interview is a challenging skill. And I really wanted to be enraptured, engrossed, and ride the wave without having to think at any point about like, wait, what? Huh? Did I miss something? And right. I think for me, that was the bright shining line of quality, because a lot of other things definitely matched up pretty well.
Very good. Excellent. Well, let's start talking to our contestants. We're going to start things off with David. Hello, David.
Hello.
You gave us Behind the Video. Mm-hmm. Tell us about the concept of the series Behind the Video.
So Behind the Video is a show where I would talk to people who have who make videos, YouTubers, but not limiting it to YouTubers. That's just kind of where the immediate thought goes. Content creators, and then kind of breaking down their popular videos.
Okay, very good. And for this one, you picked the director of Too Many Cooks,
mm-hmm.
which is fantastic. Tell me first about the process you went through to get the interview.
As jury said, you know, this is the time to shoot your shot and go crazy. So I went crazy and I felt like I was screaming into the void. And so I started to kind of work on what would be a show concept, which is how I came to the idea of Behind the Video, and started reaching out to people more based on that idea. And while going through videos that I really like or content creators that I really like, I thought about Too Many Cooks and looked up Casper Kelly, found he had a website and an email address, and the rest is history.
That's fantastic. Yeah, I really enjoyed listening to this. As a big fan of Too Many Cooks, it was really fascinating because I'd never heard, you mentioned in the show about all the interviews he's done before. I've actually never heard any of those or gone back to find out the story behind the show, or the story behind the video. So your questions were not only is recognized by him, great questions, and he gave you a very nice compliment during your interview, but also were really entertaining to me as someone who's never seen the other interviews that he's conducted. And so that was high praise. Did you hit any hiccups in the recording of the interview or in the editing?
Some Zencaster issues, but we resolved that pretty quickly. When it came to the editing, it actually was fairly smooth. I know even in this final edit, he wanders a little bit in his speech, but was far worse than that when I first got done with him. So I polished it up enough that I wasn't making him talk differently than he normally does, while also making it a little bit easier on the listeners. And also he had a headphone mic, or he had a headset. So there was some heavy breathing or scratching that I had to eliminate at some points.
Wow, you did some great cleanup work. And who would have thought that the director of Too Many Cooks would go on a little bit longer than you expect him to?
Nice.
Let's go ahead and get to our judges. We're going to start off with Jenny.
All right. So I'm in Sunset Boulevard today, driving down this beautiful winding thing. And I'm listening to all the submissions, these wonderful submissions. And I get to David's and I literally went, ah, because I was so excited to hear from like behind the scenes of Too Many Cooks, because like so many people, I adored that very bizarre, very long video. So it was a great idea. I think you did a really good setup of what people basically needed to know. I think there was maybe, I would like to know from you whether you thought and considered whether there should be clips from the video itself in this episode, because I think just a few short ones might have given it a little flavor. And I also thought maybe one missing line from your setup was something like, if say you were doing an ongoing show about different video creators, and you're not going to know every single video creator ever, it would need a caveat like, if you haven't seen Too Many Cooks, this will make no sense. And if you have seen this video, nothing makes any sense, right? So like it needed just like, please, if you haven't seen this, go watch it. But I thought you did a brilliant job with the interview. And it seems like you worked so hard to ask him good questions. And my only very subtle note is it's so tempting to want to ask only questions that you've never heard the answer to. And I think he rightfully, like Brian said, recognized that. And it was so excellent. But there were two questions that I thought you needed to ask, even though they probably have been asked before, for your audience that has not yet ever heard about this guy behind the video that they may or may not have seen. And one of it was, who was he before this? Like, who was he? What, you know, like, I just wanted one sense of where he was in that moment in time. And then I think you really needed to explicitly ask, where did this idea come from? Even though like that's probably the one thing he gets asked all the time, like, and then you can just dive off into the excellent work that you did sort of differentiating yourself. And I thought it was fantastic. I really didn't have a whole lot of notes. It was just like everything laid out really well in terms of telling a story through interview. So I would just say like, you know, there are just a couple of foundational questions that you have to ask in every interview, no matter how well you know the topic.
Great. Thank you, Jenny. And thank you, David. Let's go over to Justin.
All right. You booked the best guest of the week. I said that was going to be very important. Congratulations. You picked somebody that I would have never thought of. But as soon as I heard that he was your guest, I immediately became excited because, man, could I listen to I think this podcast, and probably a little bit longer even, would be the ideal length of how long I would like to hear about Too Many Cooks, because it is a very specific moment in comedy. It's a specific moment in viral videos specifically. If I think that there was some stuff that I wanted more of, it's a little bit more of the behind the scenes. What's the budget? How was it a struggle to get on? The future of videos like, or the stuff that happened before for videos like this, mm-hmm. and then the past after Too Many Cooks. But by and large, I think you did an excellent job on this. Although I do agree with Jenny, the fact that we did not get a heaping dose of that theme is definitely something that you should be docked point for, because man, come on.
I know. I should have. Dang it. Ugh.
But would we have been able to get it out of our heads? That's is the question.
Right,
we
would have heard Brian. It.
It's been in mind since I read it. God,
you say yes.
And I would just jump in and say, like, in this instance, with something that was so absurdist, like, I love having an intimate interview that isn't interrupted, but like this would be the time to interrupt it randomly with Too Many Cooks. Like, this is your one opportunity to just use it the way that you would hope that he would want you to. So, you know, I respect your choice, but I think I would have tried to have some editing fun.
I mean, I think that there you have the opportunity for that. The one other thing is I also agree with Jenny that setting this stuff up is very important. Even if obviously, like, there is a difference between niche media and telling a story that anybody can appreciate. So, for example, there's that new spinoff of The Toys That Made Us on Netflix called The Movies That Made Us. And, you know, the two episodes that I've seen are Ghostbusters and Dirty Dancing and Home Alone. I guess I saw three. In each of them, they recap the movie at the beginning. They let everybody know, just in case, in some ways subtle, some not, this is what happens in this movie. And then they tell the kind of documentary story of it. So even if you think in your head, oh my God, who listening to this won't know Too Many Cooks? And I, of course, do. But some level of setup, it doesn't take much. If you do it well, it enhances everything. And it puts everybody in your audience on the same page.
Okay. Thank you.
Makes sense. All right. How about you, Scott?
Well, I echo a lot of what has been said. I would add a couple of things. One, and this, I guess this has already sort of been said, but I'll just say it again. I wish this was a regular show because I would subscribe to it. I love the idea of digging deep into viral stuff. I hear you interviewing Tazon Day in my head and asking why he had the turn to breathe. I want to know more about all that kind of stuff because meme culture is so pervasive is the word I was looking for in our culture that it is impossible for us to ignore them. They are part of the conversation, and in many cases they are like a chief part of the conversation we have on the modern internet. And as a result, I would love to go behind the scenes in those things that really took off and went crazy. If anyone could do a follow-up, how's the Star Wars kid doing now? I think you might be him. I also think you're the best interviewer that we have on this week. I think you killed it with the interview. Your style is good. You know how to answer questions that are complex and interesting, but in short ways. You don't feel like you have to clarify your questions as you ask them. That's a problem a lot of people have. You don't do that. I think that's a skill that will serve you really well. I wish his sound was better quality on his end, but yeah, that's a microphone in his end kind of thing. So I'm not really poking you for that. I mean, I've had multiple episodes with some unnamed people we won't talk about that had terrible mics, but yet the interviews turned out okay. So I don't think that's gonna ding you this time around. As much as I would have liked to have had clips and stuff mixed in, interstitials or whatever, you are right that most of what that is music. And I think that would have been hard. So I kind of understand the idea of leaving that out. I just think you have a really strong interviewing style and it carries this in a really strong way. I think it took it from here's a show that's about a guy talking to meme creators and content creators and the ones that went viral. And I kind of went, oh, really? Okay. I'm not sure what I was getting into, to this is awesome. I think you did a really great job and it's mostly due to your skills as an interviewer. So well done this week.
Thank you.
Very good. All right. Thank you very much, David. We're going to move over to Kristen and her show, Too Obsessed. Tell me about the concept behind this series.
I am a self-proclaimed true crime fan. I probably would borderline as part of somebody that would be too obsessed with true crime, but it was basically the format of it was what happens when something like a genre like cosplaying or LARPing or tabletopping, what the consequences are if they go too deep or too obsessed.
So the episode that you gave us would have been a very personal one to you, but you would also go into areas, other geek culture, pop culture things that people get very obsessed with, even if they weren't something that you personally aren't obsessed
Correct.
With.
Correct.
Okay, cool. All right, well, tell me about the process that you went through to get the interview.
Much like David, for a good 7 or 10 days, I felt like I was screaming to the void and went of all manners, Instagram, Twitter, email, Facebook, everything I could think of to try and grab somebody of, you know, real wow potential, even with also kind of going with things that I would be interested in doing. I think part of being a good interviewer is being interested in the topic and having some relatability to it. So I was going for that and some geek stuff. And yeah, it just, Aaron was the first one to reach out and was able to secure, based on timing, an interview. So I was really happy to do that.
He's a great choice. And hearing about somebody who was in the pre-serial days, or, you know, as we like to call it in podcasting, the PS days, somebody who was before that whole wave, especially when it comes to true crime, it's great getting a perspective on what all that was like beforehand. So very cool pull on that interview. Tell me about you're one of the newer people when it comes to editing. You dipped your toes into it pretty heavily last week with the editing challenge, or last time with the editing challenge. Did you find that things were a little bit easier for you this time around?
I actually had some recording problems on my end. Aaron sounded great and no problems. I actually had to re-record all of my questions. I had some microphone problems that made me sound like I was a robot. So I got a crash course in editing all over again, pretty much. And I did find it a little easier. I kind of set myself up for success and got some tools as far as like a second monitor to make it easier and things like that. So it wasn't nearly as nerve-wracking because it was my own stuff versus somebody else's. But yeah, it was a little bit more successful this time around.
Wow. All right. Well, I hope you were planning on buying another monitor anyway and didn't just get it for, for America's Next Top Podcast.
Yeah, it was on my to-do list for sure.
Okay, good. Good deal. Let's go ahead and get to our judges. We're going to start this one off with Justin.
So I'm not a true crime guy myself. However, I will say that you did the best use of an interview in that your interview had purpose, which is very, very important. Specifically, the idea that you are speaking to an expert about the question, and the question being, is true crime an ethical trade? And if so, how easily can you malpractice? Those were the most important and enriching elements of the interview to me, specifically with the idea of holding back stuff and, where the line is between like amateur storyteller and how everything comes together. That being said, there are elements of this interview that get a little inside baseball. And that is a term, you know, that is hard to figure out, but the more you know exactly what your final product is going to be, and that's something that can come through in the edit, the more you realize, like, the stuff about the conventions and stuff like that, for a true crime fan, that might mean something. But the larger question that has the biggest appeal is this phenomenon good or bad? And if it is good, how easily can bad actors make it bad? And you're getting away from that when we get into the kind of boom, the story of like the time where this explodes. Again, for some folks, it's great. For me, it didn't resonate. By and large, great job, and great job framing all of it.
Very good. Thank you, Justin. Let's go to Scott.
All right. One of the things that struck me first about this is how good the audio sounded. I think you really got great audio out of your guest, and I prefer, whenever possible, for a show to sound like the people are in the room. That can be done with lots of remote trickery. And this was one of those that sounded great. So I think you did really well on the audio side, despite any issues you may have had on your end. It came out sounding like you guys were in the same room talking on a pair of mics looking at each other. And I think that's a strong good thing that you did for yours. I like the subject. I like true crime. I like true crime documentaries. I think the subject's super interesting. And this was so meta for me. To be honest, I kind of, when I went into this, I went, oh, we're interviewing a podcaster. I don't know. Sometimes these are just not the best ideas or whatever. Turned me around completely. I thought it was great. It was good to get his perspective. I love that you dug into things like, are there people that either think you take this too seriously, or do you think you take it, not serious enough? He talked about people who joke during these kinds of shows, and he would rather be the person who victims and families would reach out to and thank them for their careful treatment of the material rather than you know, offending people just for the sake of increasing numbers or getting likes. And I think that's that was a really interesting dive, no matter what the subject is. So that was really good. And I liked some of that stuff. So even though it wasn't like the biggest name of the week, the biggest poll in terms of, you know, who this is and why we should know them, it was a very, very strong interview. If I had only one complaint about the entire thing, it seemed to end very abruptly. Just sort of boop and you were out. And I don't know why that was or why. And maybe it just hit me that way because I was so into it, because I really was into it. And then suddenly it just sort of went away. Small thing that could be done in editing, not a big deal. But overall, I think you did a great job this week.
Thank you.
Cool. Let's go over to Jenny.
So I think that this was a really successful conversation, and it really did get to the thing that bugs me so much about true crime podcasts. So I was so glad to hear you tease out some of the sort of the ethical quandaries of this genre. I think maybe one thing that shouldn't have happened this far along in the competition was that the stings, like the little audio in and audio out of the interview, I didn't understand what they were or why they were there and how they related to the show. And I think they sort of like took me out of it briefly. I was like, I think my actual thought was, is that a whale? So I just wasn't like quite sure what the meaning of the audio was. But and the other thing I would say is, again, this is really one where I could have used just a clip, even just a clip at the top. Right? Like, what is this podcast that we're hearing about? Why this one, you know, or maybe like their most famous thing? You wouldn't have had to do a lot. Just like give us something to wrap our head around, because I'd never heard of him. And yet he's like sort of a pioneer in the field. So anyway, those were my notes. I think there were a couple like awkward edits. And then the one other thing I would say is I wrote this phrase down that was like, the questions are out of order. Which is like, and this is so hard. I want to give you full credit because this is so hard. But a story should just sort of like gently flow an interview from like setup to deep dive to final thought, right? And you can do tangents and you can do whatever, but it really should just flow. And every once in a while I felt like, oh, why did we jump here? Like, and it's just something that like you learn over time. You know, but I thought this was good, and I thought it was the best way that you could have approached an interview like this. So good job.
Thanks.
Great. Thank you so much, Jenny. And thank you as well, Kristen. Great job this week.
Thank you.
We'll do move over to, thank you. We'll move over to a third contestant, Bobby. Welcome, Bobby.
Hello.
And tell me the concept behind the series, What's the Harm?
So What's the Harm is a show that explores sort of pseudoscience and the very real harm that pseudoscience can cause people and society and the community. It's basically like a science/skepticism podcast, which is sort of like a passion of mine. If you may have noticed that I lean towards sciencey stuff in this competition already. So this was like, I said, okay, this is my opportunity to sort of like grab somebody and do something right where I live. And that was it. So,
well, it's a fascinating subject as an overall podcast series. I think it's a fascinating subject. And I really, really enjoyed the interview you got with Banachek. You had this one pretty early on. Tell me about the process that you went through to get the interview, or at least you had it nailed down, I should say, early on.
I got a response early on, and yeah, I had a back and forth with Banachek's manager, like a 30 email exchange, because they were serious. They wanted to know everything, like what is it going to be on, what is the audience like, blah blah blah. You know, like and I managed to convince them. But the process, I did exactly what Justin said. I think all of us probably did that. Was that same night, the last time we did judging, I sent out emails to every person I knew that I would never get a response from, but tried anyway. And this was one of them. So, yeah,
very good. The you know, the NDA or the process of going through and vetting you as an interview is probably the same reason that the scientists in the Project Alpha study got fooled or got exposed for their bad practices. They just want to make sure that everybody's on the up and up, and that he's not getting Project Alpha'd, I guess.
Yeah, is the best way to put especially it. In the world of skepticism and people who are skeptical activists, they often are. They're often interviewed by people who are misrepresenting themselves and then taking their comments out of context. And that's something that was said to me multiple times, as long as this isn't taken out of context,
Out of curiosity, and I probably should have asked this with David and Kristen as well, but have any of you sent your interview subjects a copy of the final product?
I plan on it after tonight, but I was waiting until after tonight.
You wanted to hear what the judges say first.
Yeah, I wanted to be able to say thanks for nothing or thanks for everything.
Right, very good. Let's go ahead and get to the aforementioned judges. Scott, we're going to start with you this time.
All right. I think that you have settled into the what I call the Frankenberger style, and that is a compliment. I think you found a zone that really resonates with me. I like your approach to not direct question and answer. A edited sort of form of that, starting it cold open with him saying stuff, is cool. I dig that a lot. It gets me excited about what's to come. It's a common thing you see in a lot of really well-made podcasts, and I think you've got that stuff down. Once again, really strong all around. I thought the subject was fascinating. I don't know near enough about that stuff that some do among us judges. I'll just say that and let them speak for themselves in a minute. But for what I do know, I think that's great. I think you did it in a way that was non-confrontational, but stayed informative. And I think that's important to, create real persuasion with people who may, buy into a lot of pseudoscience as science, and having them approach this show and not be immediately told that they're idiots, metaphorically, is a good idea. And I think you did that really well. I think you made it a welcoming place for even those who are skeptical of skeptics to come and maybe hear this out. And I think that's a really important part of this, and something that I wanted to make sure to mention. I think the editing was really good. The structure is really good. I didn't want it to end. It was the kind of show I would absolutely subscribe to and listen to more. Your sound quality was epic. It was very, very good across the board.
Thank you.
Your subject sounded amazing. And so did you. And I would just give huge thumbs up for this one. Of everything this week, in total, this one won it for me. Well done.
Thank you. I really appreciate the comment about it being non-confrontational, because I care about that. And also I wrote and rewrote and rewrote the script for a lot of the parts, because I feel very strongly about having a stance about those things, that there's a difference between fact and belief, but I don't want people to feel lectured to.
Right. You're putting, and that's to add to that, I would just say, I think that's a hard thing to do, because our own biases, even when they're, based in the most real of the realities, sometimes get in the way. And editorially, you can push people away, and then you just sort of become, kind of the thing you're trying to help eliminate.
Yeah.
And I think you did a really good job of balancing that. I think that's hard to do, and I was impressed.
Very good. Thank you, Scott. I'd like to know what people who are skeptical of skeptics are called, if there's a term for that.
They're called scepters. No, I don't know.
super skeptics.
Skexies.
Let's move over to Jenny.
Okay. So this was a really fascinating subject matter. And I think, as someone who knew nothing about it, I was a little confused, mostly about timeline. So first of all, I guess I want to back up for a second and say, this episode, maybe I didn't understand well, but you sort of framed this particular episode of a larger, non-existent podcast as a rejection or a deviation from the show's premise, instead of just being an episode that was exactly the show's premise. Did I read that right or wrong? Or it was this episode's a little different. And I guess I'm saying, if you're doing a fake episode of a fake podcast about, you know, just make the premise this episode. You know what I'm saying? Like, did I just like invent that it was supposed to be a little different?
This episode, the idea of, I know exactly what you're talking about, of course.
Yeah.
The idea was that this episode is a little bit, I was really getting in my head about what this series would look like, because I've thought about doing this kind of show before. And the premise is just about pseudoscience. But I know from myself that most of the episodes of a show like this would probably, at least for me, focus on
Gwyneth Paltrow.
Right. Well, because a lot of medical claims and false medical claims and stuff like that, and that this would be different. I understand what you're saying, though, at least for the purpose of this being an isolated thing that was going to be judged. Maybe that was a little confusing.
Just sit in the basket, the warm embrace of your actual show when coming up with the premise. But it's a minor note. And the major note was, like, I was confused, like, almost like from a generational point of view. Like, first we were in the present, which I got. But then we were in like some past, and then the main guy was a teenager, but we didn't know what decade. Like, just, you don't have to give us years, just like decades, right? So I can place my understanding of what science was, what the ethical guidelines were. Like, I had no place to place this other than, like, I was like, what scientist is that gullible? And it's because I was thinking of it from a 90s or an O's perspective. Mm-hmm. And yet this clearly took place decades ago, in which I could sort of understand, like a little more naivete. So that was like a big thing for me. It, you know, I think, that I could have gone my whole life without ever hearing the words demonic ejaculation. But look, he said it, not you. And I'm actually glad you didn't take it out. Like, and it was a good thing in just letting the guest be the guest. And he had earned that credit by that time. So I think you did a really good job and were really, you placed him in a very respectful and context, and he placed the whole experiment in a very thoughtful context. And so I got it. I just need a little more, as totally someone new to it, to hang my hat on. And there was one bad edit at around 5:23, and I was like, because literally on your semifinal should be no bad edits.
Yeah. Thank you.
For the record, I played bass for Demonic Ejaculation, and they were great. So don't,
and really great special effects.
Yeah, they were awesome.
I know exactly what you're saying there, Jenny. I actually had a whole written section about the current context of science at the time and everything. And there's so much to this story. But I guess, like, that might have just been the wrong section for me to cut.
Great. Thank you so much, Shinny. And thanks also for giving me my favorite two-word phrase of the entire episode tonight. I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's going to be my favorite favorite phrase of the entire show. I don't know what's coming after this, but no pun intended. Hey, let's go to Justin.
Bobby! Let me ask you a question, man.
Oh, I don't like this setup.
Are you aware of my history with the James Randi Educational Foundation?
I'm aware of your connection to it. I don't know specifically with the community. Let me put it that way.
Okay. So I was the first intern for the JREF back when I was in high school. I'm very, very, very familiar with the JREF, and I'm very, very familiar with Danicek. Thankfully for you, which is, I cannot say about a lot of organized skepticism, I love both of them. not a long list. So that was good to hear. Now, on the other side, I'm intimately familiar with the story of Project Alpha. And I think it's among one of the most fascinating stories that skeptic people know, magicians know, but not a lot of people know. So while I think we had a best guest, I think we had a best context, I think this was the best story by a million miles. And I will echo Jen. I'm glad Jenny said it, because I don't know how much of this, I'm just so familiar with every detail that I would be putting undue pressure on the project to be like, oh, why didn't you mention this? But something that is really important, and to me, it is so important that it is better to frame the entire podcast around this idea, as opposed to framing it up top with, oh, what's the harm or whatever. This is your story. Leading up to Project Alpha, there was a not only a okay, like the idea that universities should be studying psychic phenomenon, but a boom in the amount of money that was given. And I'm sure if you asked Banachek, he would probably be able to at least point you in the right direction on how much money was going into that. But that's where Randy and Banachek were really pointing their aim, is that the boom of Uri Geller and the fact that he was not just a famous person, he was beginning to kind of affect what mainstream science was at the time. So the idea that this is getting, that especially by the time, and this is what makes the story so beautiful, is that Banachek and his partner begin to feel really, really, really uncomfortable. And they start to think every single day of this years-long process is going to be the day they get found out. There is also a righteousness to it. And especially for a show that is dealing with this is important, you got to highlight where they were before they got there. Now, again, I don't really hold a lot of that against you, because I don't exactly know how much other people would know about it, because this is something that I am very, very, very familiar with. That being said, Banachek's a great interview. You did a great interview with him. You unearthed an amazing story. In fact, in the beginning, when you had Banachek talking about, you know, mediums and people that are getting their money taken, I was like, oh my God, you need it. If you don't start talking about Project Alpha immediately, I'm going to reach through this phone and strangle you. You got there. You did a very good job. It was the best story of the week.
Thank you.
Very good. Excellent. Thank you, Justin. And thank you also, Bobby. Three terrific submissions this week. As a matter of fact, the scores reflect that. One of our highest rated scoring weeks that we've had in season two of the show. And it's amazing. Like, seeing all the nines and tens in our different ratings is heartwarming, because it makes me feel like you guys are learning something. I'm just so proud of you. But it does mean that we need to add up those scores, and we need to crown our winner for the week. Again, super close. Congratulations goes out to David this time around for his behind the video and the too many cooks. Congratulations, David. Very good work. If there's one thing that you guys can pull out of this episode that is a life lesson for any budding podcasters out there who want to do interviews, Scott, Jenny, Justin, what would you recommend? What is the number one thing when you're doing interview shows that you can learn from what David did?
Well, for me, it's that you took a topic that has the potential of seeming lame. And it's actually kind of a hard sell, because if you're going to promote the show, I think some people are going to hear it and go, oh, really? Okay, well, I don't care how something went viral. But as it turns out, I really do want to know. It was great. And it turned me around. So it's one of those, you know, don't judge a book by its cover kind of things. And the content of your book was real good. And I don't know how to make that cover better. It's not your fault. It's a hard cover to sell. But you sold me in the pages, and I'm really glad I read it, or in this case, listened to it. It was great. And I think that's the takeaway, that even for me anyway, even a topic that may not seem the most exciting, or, you know, the most outlandish, or the most headline grabbing, can be made into something special. And you did that.
Very good. Justin, Jenny, either of you have anything to add?
Yeah. So, number one, you did a great job finding the person. I can't stress this enough. Shoot your shot. You want the good interview? Start emailing and email a bunch of people. In fact, here's a pro tip. Email so many people, you'll start to forget how many times you've been rejected and never read, right? Just keep going. Beyond, I mean, that's the only thing that really has to happen in any kind of journalistic endeavor, is you
got to kill that ego on how bad it feels that nobody's emailing you back or doesn't want to be on your podcast, and just keep emailing people.
I absolutely just adored this. I thought it was so great and so meaningful from a creative standpoint. Like, I could have listened to this for an hour, and I think you really did a wonderful, wonderful job. And it was just the one that surprised and delighted me, because like, it's starting to get harder and harder to find new and interesting guests that we haven't all, like, once Oprah interviews Deepak Chopra, like, we're all in a lot of trouble on the interview show. Like, and you found a way to bring someone to light that I'd never heard of and I had never thought of. And if you could just go after next the guy who did the video shows, I love shows, I would be really happy.
All right, I'll add him to the list.
Great. All right. Thank you very much. And congratulations again, David. Good job this week. And yeah, our scores were really high this week for all three of you. And that's something definitely to take away from this as we talk about who got our lower score this week. David, you've made it into our finals. Let me see. We're going to find out now who's going to be joining you. Again, great scores this week, but I'm sorry, Kristen, it looks like you're going to be leaving us this week. Hold your head up high, because you did great, and the scores reflect that this week, that all three of you did a great job. So it was a very tough scoring week for the judges.
It was so close, like,
yeah,
ridiculous this week. I'm still a little bit shaken by it. It was real. I was afraid we were all going to do the same scores and we'd have to have some kind of weird fight. Or I don't
know. No, I'm okay with it. I'm actually really proud of what I submitted. So if this is what I was going to go home on, then I'm really actually okay with that. So thank you everybody for the opportunity.
Absolutely. You should be super proud of what you turned in.
Kristen, let me also just say, I love your voice. I think you have a great delivery. I love your accent. And I think specifically for the, you know, in this episode, it kind of really shined that you have just a very natural but authoritative pacing to your speech, which is invaluable. It's hard to teach. In fact, it might be impossible to teach. So, that's great. I don't know that there's anything else I need to say.
Thank you.
Great. Anything else to add, Jenny?
Yeah. And the only reason in my mind that you went home is that, like, somebody had to, and it was so close. Like, I feel like all three of you could have just won at this point, really. Like, you should take nothing away from this other than, like, just by a little squidgy squidge. It didn't rate as high, but I thought you did substantive and excellent work.
Let's go ahead and figure out what your last challenge is going to be. First off, congratulations, David and Bobby, for making it to the final two. We've put you through a lot of stuff, and you can take a deep breath because it is just about over. But this last challenge is now a chance to show off what you've learned over the course of the last 10 weeks. You're going to be taking all the praise and the criticism that you've gotten and applying it to a do-over podcast. We want you to take any previous podcast submission that you were involved with over the course of this competition and create another episode in the same series. So the genre and the name of the show are going to be the same, but you're going to be creating new content for the episode. And because of that, you're going to need some help. You're each going to be able to recruit 3 former contestants from the recruitment pool to help you over the course of this week. The 4 of you on each team will all work together to produce a 15-minute or less second episode of any show that you've used as a submission, with the exception of the editing challenge episode. Come on, you're not going to get another crack at that. David, as winner of this final challenge, your bonus is that you get to pick your first teammate, and then we're going to go back and forth round robin until you each have 3. And I know that you guys were both members of the same team for a while, so it's entirely possible that you'll both pick the same submission to do a new episode for. But guess what? You're not going to know until we meet back here in 1 week for the finals. All right, so David, you get first choice of our ex-contestant pool, and I've already given them the knowledge that we're only going to be pulling six of them total out of here, so there's no hard feelings, and the other folks will get nice parting gifts, some Rice-A-Roni, and a Lazy Boy recliner or something. We'll figure that all out. But there is your contestant pool to pick from. Who is your first choice?
Oh, man, this is podcaster's choice.
I know, everybody's got great strengths. And that's the thing also to consider is you're looking back at your previous episodes. You can't decide yet as to which one of those you're going to do, or maybe you can in your head. But as you're picking, you're kind of going to be thinking about which ones are going to be beneficial to that specific episode.
Okay. I think because I ended up working with her for a long time, and I thought that we kind of pushed each other well, and I know she's liked by the judges here, I'm going to pick the Jen.
Oh, very good.
Oh, nice. Okay.
You're picking her because she's liked yes. by the judges. Well, that seems like stacking the deck. All right, Bobby. Who's your first pick?
Okay, I'm going to go with... I'm going to go with Diddy.
Diddy. All right. Very good. Okay. Back over to you, David.
Okay. I heard all about his wonderful musical chops, and that could come in handy. So I'm going to go with Shane.
Okay. Back over to you, Bobby.
Who needs music when you can... I don't know what I'm going to say.
I do like your attempt to make it, very reality show friendly there with a little...
I'm doing my best. I think I'm going to go with Drew. I never worked with him.
Oh, interesting choice. I was wondering if anyone was going to pick... Because like I said, you guys were on the same team for... You and David were on the same team for such a long time that there were... a few people that neither of you had the chance to work with. All right, Drew is yours. All right, your final pick, David.
Okay. Someone else that I worked with and enjoyed working with and thought I could make good shows with is TV's Travis. So let's get him on the team.
Very good. And Bobby, final choice.
Well, TV's Travis was going to be my last pick, but I think I will go with... This is really hard.
Uh-huh.
This is hard.
Jenny Josephson.
Tom
Wait,
Merritt.
This is a choice?
I'm going to go with Tyler.
Mm.
Tyler. All right. Very good. Okay. So, David, you've got Jen, Shane, and TV's Travis. I should have said the Jen, Shane, and TV's Travis. Bobby, you've got Diddy, Drew, and Tyler. Now you're also going to get a little more help this week. You're both going to get some coaching from the only other two people who have been in your position before. David, you're going to get 15 minutes of coaching with Amy Frost, and Bobby, you're going to get 15 minutes with Alex Albisu, both of whom were in this exact position in season one, where they had to go back to a previous episode and create something new for the finals. You're going to meet with each of them tomorrow. And then you're also going to meet with me, where you're going to be telling me which show you've decided to revisit. So we'll make sure as soon as we're done recording tonight to have your team channel set up in Discord so that you and your team can start strategizing. Once again, 15 minutes, and your final submissions will be due this coming Sunday at noon, back to our usual schedule. Do you have any other questions for me?
Not right now.
All right. In that case, let me ask the judges, any recommendations? You guys have seen this challenge before. You know that it can make or break a contestant's chance to get to the end. What advice do you have for David and Bobby?
I don't have any this time. Because last year, I feel like I had a little. I feel like I don't know. I don't know why I don't this time, because we're in a new tier here. I feel like everybody's really top of their game. So this is going to be both of your contests to lose. And I don't know what that means. I don't have good advice for this, because they're both going to kill it. And I'm kind of nervous about who's going to blow it, because this is it. This is the thing. We're here. So now.
Well, just because one person kills it doesn't mean the other person's going to blow it. They could just kill it less.
They could kill it less, but I have a feeling, well, I could be wrong, and I hope I'm wrong, but I have a feeling that someone's going to really cheese it, and I don't know why. And I don't have, and I'm not even saying that which one of you, because I don't know. I just think it's going to be hard. You guys are going to make a very interesting final competition. I'm very excited about it.
Justin, how about you?
I didn't want Amy Frost to win in the finale last time, because I felt that they had a great podcast with Culinary Capers, and then they did a sequel, and I thought the sequel was less stakes, less interesting, and less of what I enjoyed about the first one. So since you are coming back with another sequel to a show, two things. Number one, make it bigger, badder, better, more compelling than the last one. Listen to the last one, understand what you liked about it, and then dial it up. Number two, if this is a story, all right, if you're telling us a story about something, it's not a news thing, it's a story thing, then for God's sakes, have a conflict. If you can't tell me from the very beginning what the conflict in this story is, then you're not doing it right. And if the conflict isn't something that you would pick up the phone and tell a good friend of yours, hey, you ever hear about blank, and they would be riveted, then think about it again. Think about it harder. Try to refine it. You might need to find another story. You guys have done great work up to this point, but in my opinion, you have not been up to season one. And I think that there is a lot of potential for you guys to grow. And at this point, the little things, the bad edits, the few, you know, the tidbits, the things that can be polished, this is the stuff that I am going to be very, very, very much on the lookout for when it comes to the finals, because this is a lot of passion that has gone into this. A lot of people who have put in a lot of time and a lot of effort that have fallen short. You guys are the last two, and I expect two podcasts that would be ready to go out to the world by the time that it gets submitted.
Very good.
I would only add, leave it all out on the proverbial podcast field. Now is not the time to be like, oh God, everybody was really busy, or oh, we thought about doing this, but we thought it was just like maybe too much for. I totally understand. This is a marathon, not a sprint. This is the week. This is the stay up as late as your job allows. Stay up, you know, work as hard, pitch as big. Do it to the max, because this is it.
Very good. Well, with that, we're going to go ahead and wrap up this episode of America's Next Top Podcaster. We will see you 1 week from tonight for the finals, and we're going to find out who's going to win this thing. Big thanks to our judges, Jenny Josephson, Justin Robert Young, and Scott Johnson. Big thanks to our producer, Hammond Chamberlain. Monica is our social media maven, and Alex Albisu is he's cutting those interviews and working behind the scenes on the show. Also, thanks to Andrew Allen for the music. We will see you 1 week from tonight for the finals. That's going to do it for this episode of America's Next Top Podcaster. We're now down to David and Bobby. Which one will take home the crown for season two? We will find out 1 week from tonight. But before we go, let's hear from this week's eliminated contestant, Kristen.
Thanks for listening to America's Next Top Podcaster. This is eliminated contestant, Kristen Stubblefield, a.k.a. Dusty White. Scott Johnson, Jenny Josephson, and Justin Robert Young are our judges, and Tom Merritt is our coach. Hammond Chamberlain is our producer, and Brian Ibbett is our executive producer and host. Monica Stone is our social media coordinator, and listen for follow-up interviews with Alex Abisu. Music by Andrew Allen. Find him online at andrewallenmusic.com. To learn more about this podcast, visit americasnexttoppodcaster.com. And follow us on Twitter at Podcasting Idol. And be sure to discuss the game with our other fans on Facebook at facebook.com/America's Next Top Podcaster.